In this country, more than 100 people die from an opioid overdose every day. Thankfully, some people manage to break that cycle of addiction, and some do it by going online, using apps and websites to find community, to get sober, and to stay sober. Ben Brock Johnson traveled to upstate New York to talk to one such man.
I'm in a car with a guy named Alex. We're in Brockport, New York, just outside of the state's third largest city, Rochester.
You gotta go out there.
Just go around here and then go loop to the left here and go straight out the other side.
Alex is a skinny white guy in his early 20s. He smokes Marlboro Red 100s, sings in metal band, went to the local high school, the local four-year college. He points stuff out as we drive by, giving me the tour of his town. I just picked up Alex from Group, as he calls it, where every week he and a bunch of other men get together to talk about how their recovery is going.
That's where I went to school, actually. That's where I first used opiates, right in that building there. First time I ever nodded out was next to my current girlfriend in English class.
Is that high school?
Yep, and that's my mom's house, that gray one.
The good news is that so far, Alex isn't the really bad kind of statistic, despite using for 5 years.
How many days are you clean now?
Let's see. Got my counter here, my app. I've been clean 4 months and 15 days this time around.
4 months and 15 days?
Yep. Feels great.
Is that the longest you've been clean since you started using? Or?
Yep.
By how much?
By a month and a half. This time, it's different than any other time. I would say every other time I was clean, I was just abstaining. I'd say this is the first time I'm recovering.
To be a young man and a heroin addict sadly isn't all that unique in America right now. But the fact that Alex used the internet to fight off the demons, that's something. Alex came to his addiction in a pretty familiar way. He got a knee injury in high school from skateboarding and was prescribed some oxycodone. The injury persisted, so he got more prescriptions. By the time he was in college, he was buying oxys from a classmate. And eventually, Alex's pill addiction led to buying heroin, largely because it was cheaper. Because today he's feeling good about his sobriety, Alex decides to take me to a so-called open-air drug market in Rochester.
I think we're ready to go.
You are, Ben.
Okay, well, I'm ready.
Open-air drug markets are pretty uncommon. They're places where buyers can find dealers at all times of the day, any day. Trying to get rid of them can be really tricky, too. A show of police force can sometimes just punish the low-level criminal activity without really tackling some of the underlying issues. It's dangerous to go to a place like this with a recorder, so I had to hide it.
Like I said, I made this drive every day now. Every single day.
If you do something like this every single day, you start to learn the rules for transactions, including what to ask for when you show up.
Heroin is boy. They call it boy. And cocaine is girl. So you go out to the city to score some boy, and people will flag you down. They'll yell, sample, 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 at your car. Mm. And what that is they're trying to flag you down and give you a free sample with the understanding that if it's any good, you'll buy a bundle or so.
A few blocks later, we pull into this neighborhood, which, to be honest, at first looks pretty normal. There are people out in the street, school buses are dropping kids off. There's a lot going on.
And I don't mean to knock on, like, I mean, there are community spaces out here, there's businesses here, but if you're going to go get drugs in Rochester, this is where you want to be.
This is the place. Okay.
This would be the main area, yeah.
What are these people doing?
No idea.
We're just going to roll down the window, that's all.
Yeah, see if they...
No!
There it is. They're selling.
He wanted us to pull over there. He's,
they're selling. He's,
yeah.
Right there.
This guy too, maybe.
Usually the younger kids. We'll be selling. Usually kids.
Hmm. These guys are, like, definitely working.
Yep, they're on the phone. See?
Yep.
This guy, too.
Wow, this is so crazy because there are school buses everywhere.
It doesn't matter.
I know. Crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
How are you doing? You feeling okay?
Yeah, I feel like I'm like a scientist in a way right now. Like, I don't feel like an emotional connection right now. I feel like I'm observing and just showing you guys.
Okay, good.
You know, if I was driving through here alone for no purpose or had to go, you know, maybe to work in the area or something, that might be a little different.
Yeah.
I'd be in my thoughts more. But I'm just showing you guys right now, and I think that it's interesting. 7 would be the distance over.
Boy, girl.
Good. Boy, girl.
Boy, girl.
There it was.
Wow.
It wasn't easy for Alex to kick his habit of buying drugs, of using. One thing that helped, Alex's mom, who is a career cop. At one point, she sat him down and gave him a drug test and an ultimatum. But she helped him get out indirectly as well.
The one big moment where I realized what I want out of life is when my mother talked to me in rehab on the phone. She was talking about her and how her and her fiancé went shopping for dehumidifiers. She was so excited. Like, she got a good deal on this dehumidifier, and she's comparing them and talking about the differences in them. It was just the most boring in the world. So mundane, and I just couldn't help but think, that's all I want. I just want to be able to go with my girlfriend and get excited about getting a good deal on a dehumidifier. Because when you're a heroin addict, all you can think about is, I'm going to pawn that dehumidifier. Or, I would never buy one of those. That's not even in my top 1,000 list of things I would buy right now.
The other thing that helped Alex get clean was the internet. Using the internet as a tool, whether you're trying to get high or stay clean, isn't new. Back in the 1990s, when ecstasy was exploding in popularity, there were websites constantly updated with photos of pills and information about whether they were good or bad. Same kind of sites exist today.
Blue Light is a website people use. It's mostly functions as a harm reduction website.
So helping people use, but hopefully preventing them from overdosing.
Yeah. You can't learn where to get it on there. That's against their rules, but it is common to see information about that.
Alex also uses a website called Reddit. It's a huge group of online communities, sometimes called the front page of the internet, where people can interact and trade stories. Here's a recent post that Alex wrote.
If you want an idea, just imagine looking at your mother crying, your girlfriend angry and begging you to please stop. Imagine your cute old grandmother saying, you're breaking my heart. Imagine being ashamed, having pawned your most prized possessions, owing a lot of money to a lot of people. Imagine having the flu times 1,000 and wanting to die. Imagine having multiple close calls where you did too much and couldn't breathe. Imagine having a college degree and knowing that all you have to do to get rid of your misery is simply not use heroin again. Then imagine getting in your car, driving to the shady part of the city at 2 a.m., going into a rundown house with scary people and seeing a gun on the table, spending money you borrowed from your 15-year-old brother for gas on heroin, and then doing it the second you get back to your car.
Alex says even before he was clean, he used the opiates recovery community on Reddit, but it was for a strange reason. He didn't buy into the idea that sober life was possible.
You know, the most common thing I did was sit there and search all day for people who had been clean for a while and said they were happy, because I needed to believe that was possible, and I didn't. I needed to see that 100 times before I could even begin to believe it. Because I would see one post like that, and I would be like, there's no way. And then I would see two posts where people are clean for a year and having heavy cravings, and I'd be like, yeah, that's what it's like. That's going to be me. And it's like one post like that against 100 posts saying I'm happy, I'd take the one. Because I just couldn't believe that there was a way out of that.
Eventually, Alex found his way out. And remember when he mentioned that his mom talking about dehumidifiers made him want to live a normal life? Well, now he's living that normal life, shopping with his girlfriend, Casey.
And I knew that it clicked for me when Casey and I were shopping for shower curtains. And I felt myself excited to go put them up in the bathroom because we had picked the ones we liked and really put some thought into it, and I paid my money that I earned with my job for them, you know, with her, and that felt amazing to just care about something that mundane.
For Here and Now, I'm Ben Brock Johnson.
And we checked in with Alex this week. He's been sober now for 10 months and 22 days. It's a number that he still tracks with an app on his phone called Clean Time Counter. He starts graduate school in 3 weeks, and we wish him luck. You can learn more about Ben's podcast, Endless Thread, at our website, hereandnow.org.